Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. I want to share with you today two keys to avoiding defeat in your Christian walk. In Psalm 19, verse 14, we find this powerful statement, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." This beautiful prayer written by the psalmist touches on the two areas that will bring success in your life if you follow the word of the Lord. It talks about the words of the mouth and the thoughts of the heart. David, the psalmist, knew the importance of having a guard over his mouth and also having God's thoughts as his meditation. These two areas, the thought life and the tongue, are two areas that many Christians never seem to get victory over, or they are unaware of actually focusing on these two areas as keys to their victory in their Christian life. First of all, I'd like to talk to you about overcoming the tyranny of uncaptured thoughts. Proverbs 23, verse 7 tells us, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." This scripture gives us insight into the reality as God sees it, that a person's thought life or the meditation of his heart, the things that a person thinks about, is a reflection of the state of that individual, or you could even say of the real you. Your thought life reflects the real you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if you continue to think in a certain pattern of thoughts, you will eventually believe those thoughts, or it will affect your life in some way. God has a divine will for your thought life. He's very interested in your thought life. In fact, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind." God wants us to honor him even in our thought life. He's very interested in what you're thinking about. We are told in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then in Ephesians 4, 23, we're told to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, talks about taking every thought captive to Jesus Christ. These scriptures make it very clear that God has a very specific will for our thought life. Joshua was given a key to success in life by the Lord himself when he was given the amazing responsibility of taking Moses' position as leader of the children of Israel. And in God's instructions to Joshua, he gave him a key that would bring him success all the days of his life if he abided by it. We find this key in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord is speaking to Joshua here, and it reads, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may be careful to observe to do everything that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." God gave Joshua these two keys of what he said with his mouth and what he thought about or meditated on in his heart. And these two keys are truly vital in order to avoid defeat in your Christian walk today. Meditating or thinking on God's thoughts or the Word of God, called the Book of the Law there in Joshua chapter 1, is absolutely the will of God for each and every believer. And yet so many believers find that their thought life is overrun with thoughts that they had no control over, or that they don't even think that they had anything to do with, but they're just flooded with perhaps wicked thoughts, perverted thoughts, thoughts that they can't seem to get away from them, and yet they're hounded by these torrent of thoughts. God wants to give you the key to success in your thought life, because that issue is vital to your success in your Christian walk in every area of your life. First of all, we have to decide that we are going to be very wise in what we choose to think about and meditate on. That is the very first step in having victory in your thought life. You have to make a decision and understand that you do have authority over your own thought life. Satan, we are told, comes and tries to shoot darts, so to speak, at us by injecting or projecting thoughts into our minds. He can't come and just jump on you and assault you, but he can try to make suggestions. And these satanic suggestions come in the package of thoughts that seem to come from out of nowhere to the believer or non-believer alike. Perhaps you were not even thinking along a certain line, and suddenly you're just arrested by this flood of thoughts of maybe lust or some other sinful area. Understand, you have authority over your own thought life, and it's vital for us to recognize that it is Satan's plot to try to send that flood of unclean or unrighteous or unscriptural thoughts your way, whether they are thoughts of fear trying to overwhelm you, whether it's thoughts of doubt about God being a provider and able and willing to provide for you, or whether they are lustful thoughts or critical thoughts about others, or even thoughts of yourself being unlovable or unable to love someone else. All of these things oppose the Word of God and the truth of God's Word about you and about the Lord Himself. So you have to recognize that there is an enemy of your thought life, which is Satan himself, the enemy of your soul. And by recognizing that, then you must realize that you have to be on guard against his devices, and that you have to resist him when he comes trying to bring this flood of thoughts that you do not desire or do not want to meditate on. The Bible tells us in the book of James that we are to submit ourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. That vital piece of advice gives us two components. One, that we are to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. We are to submit our thought lives to God, meaning that you are to make that determination of your heart that you are submitting your thoughts to the will of God. I want to do God's will in my thought life. I want to have a pure conscience before the Lord. I want to think the thoughts that God wants me to think and no other. That's the first part of submitting. And you could do that by saying, Father, it is my heart's desire with your help and by your grace that I will submit my thought life to you. I want my thoughts to line up with the thoughts of God. And then, after making that consecration of your thought life, where you're determined that you're not going to willingly sin in your thought life, then secondly, you then have the authority in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb to resist the enemy, and the scripture is very clear, he has to flee from you, which simply means this. Let's just say you are being plagued by a certain thought, an unclean, perverted, or even just a thought of doubt. God's not going to come through. God's not going to provide. You're going to go bankrupt. Whatever the thought pattern that is being injected by Satan to harass you or torment you, whatever the area is, you're being harassed by this particular thought. It is vital for you, first of all, to say, Lord, you know that I've submitted my thought life to you. So on the authority of your word, I resist Satan right now in the name of Jesus, And you can speak right to him and say, Satan, I resist you in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over my thought life. I take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ Jesus. And this is an important thing, that you speak out loud your resistance against Satan's attack against you, and that you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in order to make a counterattack against the enemy. When you resist him, the scripture says he's going to have to flee from you, but you're going to have to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take it in your mouth, which is where the sword is located. According to Revelation, it says that the sword of his mouth, that's how he slayed his enemies, referring to Jesus. So we have to take up the sword of the Spirit in our mouth, speaking out the Word of God. And when we do that, Satan has to bow. He has to back off. He has to flee from you, because God's Word is more powerful, and greater is He that is in you, and He that is in you is the living Word, and Satan has to flee from that. So this is a critical part to understand. God has a will for your thought life. He wants you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. He wants you to take every thought that's opposed to the Word of God captive, and He wants you to think on these things. This component of thinking on these things, which is found in Philippians 4:8, is probably the most familiar scripture to Christians about the thought life. God gives us specific instructions about what we are to allow in our thought life. And this is interesting, because if you apply it to every area of your life, from what you take in through your eye gate, your ear gate, and what you even say with your mouth, you have to see if these things line up with the Word of God here in Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These are the things that we are to think about, allow our thoughts to dwell on, allow our thought life to consider. They have to line up with this scripture, or we are to cast them out. I've often said that a person who has no control over their thought life is like a person that allows down the highway of their mind any old garbage truck filled with trash or trucks carrying hazardous waste to come barreling down the highway of their mind. On the contrary, the person who is wise and understanding about their thought life and understands how vital it is to put a guard up over the gate of their thought life is like that person who sees that truck coming with the hazardous waste, puts up all the guard gates, flashing lights, stops it at the gate and says, "We will not allow you to pass through here," and sends it back. That is the attitude we have to have when Satan tries to interject thoughts into your mind, into your thought life, that oppose the Word of God, that introduce fear, that introduce doubt, that introduce thoughts of failure, defeat, that God will not come through, critical thoughts about others, an ungrateful attitude, unloving thoughts about your family, your wife, your husband, your children, any of those things that absolutely are strategies of the enemy to try to defeat you and bring you to a place of defeat in the kingdom of God. Understand, you have to treat those things like hazardous waste trying to come rolling down your neighborhood street. You would not want that to come your way, that poison. God does not want those thoughts to come down the highway of your thought life. It's poison to your spirit, your soul, and your body. God knows, and that's why He's given us this very specific injunction about what we are allowed to let our thoughts rest on, things that are pure. Many things are true, such as gossip you may hear, the content may be true. So-and-so might have had an affair with so-and-so, but it's not pure. And so it has not passed the test of Philippians 4:8. So do not allow your thought life to meditate on those things. Think about it. And certainly do not pass it on by using your own mouth to repeat such ungodly speech. So overcoming the tyranny of uncaptured thoughts will give you a great measure of victory in your own life, because we know that sin, every sin, begins as a thought. So if you can allow the Lord to help you to become a victor in your own thought life, you will keep yourself from sin to a great degree because of vigilance over guarding your own thought life. Now, the second part of this keys to avoiding defeat in your Christian walk has to do with the power of the tongue, or I will call it overcoming the bondage of an unbridled tongue. Many people in the world today just say any old thing. They'll repeat everything they have heard. They'll speak without any sense of a tinge of their conscience whatsoever, repeating gossip, speaking evil of others, criticizing, tearing down the boss, speaking behind the backs of fellow employees, criticizing their mother-in-law, father-in-law, or the pastor of their church. Understand, an unbridled tongue is bondage. It brings you into more bondage, but it in itself is bondage. God calls us to be ones who do not allow an idle word to pass through our lips. Jesus himself said that we will give an account for every idle word. That word actually means inoperative or without power. God intended for our words to carry the power and authority of God himself. We know from Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. God gave only to humans, only to those creation that he made in his own image, this amazing power called the power of the tongue. He intended it to be operative for the purposes of God, to do the will of the Father. And Jesus said that we'll be held accountable for every idle word, every word that was inoperative, things we said that did not carry the power of God to transform a situation. God wants us to be those who take the power of the tongue seriously. Many Christians are quite ignorant of this principle of Scripture, and yet the Word of God is filled to overflowing with instruction about the words of our mouth, our speech, our tongue, how we talk to one another, what we say, and what we do not say. God has a will for your tongue, for your words. Very definitely and very powerfully, this principle is demonstrated in the earth today. An unbridled tongue, meaning one that never has any restraint about it, always brings destruction and bondage. We know that in the book of James, there's quite a lengthy discourse about the tongue and about how powerful and how dangerous it is. In verse 26 of the first chapter of the book of James, it says, "If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." I read that scripture to you first to say that God is very serious about the matter of our words. This scripture is not in vain when it says that God's attitude is, if a person does not bridle his tongue according to the word of God and the intent of the heart of God, that his religion is useless. It is a sad thing to see a Christian whose mouth is out of control. It is a very sad and pitiful witness to the world when a Christian has an unbridled tongue, when they'll easily spout out words of anger or words of profanity or words of criticism or gossip as easily as the unsaved person next door. God has a call and a purpose and a specific will for the words of our mouth, and we must take it seriously. It's not a small matter in the eyes of God. We know that this tongue that is unbridled can truly bring destruction. We know from Proverbs, multiple scriptures, including one that tells us very clearly, you are snared with the words of your mouth. We don't want to snare our own lives, our own hearts, our own spirits, our own minds with our own mouth, and yet many people do it. They will speak fear over themselves. They will say things like, I am so afraid my children are going to be killed in a car accident, or I'm so afraid of going into the city because maybe it'll be bombed while I'm there. And they speak out the very words that Satan is longing to have them say so that they will be snared. Satan wants you to speak of his domain, and his domain includes the domain of fear. And we know from the Word of God that we are told in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God said about himself that he has not given us a spirit of fear. And yet Satan is the author of that spirit of fear. Don't agree with the spirit of fear and allow an unbridled tongue to come into agreement with fear by speaking out these fearful words that came from the fearful thoughts that Satan has sent to you. Understand, you can have victory over fear by bringing every thought captive to Christ Jesus and by bridling your tongue. That is an important issue. But it covers every area, not just fear. It covers God's provision in your life. It covers your own success in life. It covers your ability to love people. It covers every area that a Christian will face in their life. And the tongue is a source of either life for you or death for you, of blessing for you or cursing for you. Many people shoot themselves in their own foot with their own mouth. So I warn you about this, because this is a key to avoiding defeat in your Christian life, is to have your tongue bridled by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it'll be trained if you will meditate on what God's Word says about the tongue. I encourage you to look in the Word of God, look up every place it says speech, words, mouth, tongue, and you'll find hundreds upon hundreds of scriptures to look up, but there are so many references that give us divine counsel about how to order the words of our mouth. Pray the way David prayed, because King David had insight into both of these matters, as I mentioned before, when he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. When you get up in the morning, if it has become your decision and your purpose of heart that you want to walk in victory, you want to avoid defeat in your Christian life, and you want to have the uncaptured thoughts of your thought life absolutely taken captive to Christ Jesus, and you want your tongue to become bridled to the power of the Holy Spirit, then pray that prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And then go farther. Go to Psalm 141, verse 3, where it tells us another insight that the psalmist had. And he prayed this way, set a guard, O Lord, over the door of my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And this will help you. God wants you to walk in these two areas with perfect victory. It will bring a victorious spirit into your life. Take the word of God. If you're battling fear and thoughts come to you that are fearful, and then you're tempted to say with your mouth fearful things, take a hold of 2 Timothy 1:7, that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Take a hold of Psalm 27, verse 1 and on, that says, the Lord's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Understand, you can take captive your thoughts if you can replace them with the Word of God, and you can bridle your tongue if you can replace your words with what God's Word says. It'll bring victory. It'll bring joy. It'll bring freedom to you in a magnificent way that will bring glory to God and be a great witness to those around you, believer and unbeliever alike. God loves you and wants you to walk in victory and avoid defeat in your Christian walk. So overcome the tyranny of uncaptured thoughts and overcome the bondage of that unbridled tongue. God bless you. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-KEY-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.